Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould. Thanks for joining us tonight. You are welcome to call in. This is a show where we address questions that you have, whether you want to call in with them or you sent us an email previously. And the number here is 888-627-6008. If you have a question about anything related to the afterlife or an experience you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you. Hello, Tom and Melissa. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Bob.
Right. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. So, we do have some questions that people had written in, and I'm just taking, there was one that came in last week that we never really got to, and the person just said, I'd like to ask each of you if there was one experience that turned the corner for you, affirming your belief in life after death. Now, there may not be, but I don't know. Do you guys have one particular experience that you could point to?
I grew up with such a open-minded belief based on my upbringing with my mom. If anybody hadn't heard me mention it before, she was shipped off to Ohio when she was 13 years old after her dad was tragically killed and her mom was trying to figure out, life. So mom went off to Ohio to the relatives who happened to be members of spiritualist churches. So she was taken to these, I'm not going to call them seances, but these experiences, and she often shared those stories. And she spoke about being alone in the house one day with the little dog, I think its name was Skippy, and heard this horrendous crash, this tumbling down the stairs, as if it were a body falling down the stairs. And she was terrified and scooped up the little dog and ran out of the house and stood across the street, totally expecting somebody come bursting out of the house. And there was nobody there. And then she also spoke about the rocking chair just suddenly starting to rock back and forth. So those were just my experiences. And then after I met you and Fran Bob, I guess I started to think, well, what really is this all about? I had the belief, but I guess I never really thought more about it. But then after Tom's dad passed in 2003 and came to me in a dream, and it's still so vivid, as we know dream visits are, and he was a man who one would turn to ask for advice, but he was coming to me and telling me he needed my help. And I just felt that was a turning point in a way of him or those on the other side wanting to find a way to communicate. So that's a little bit of this and that, but it's just some of the cool experiences that come to my mind when you ask that question. What about you, Tom?
Well, that's a hard question for me. I sort of recall that throughout my whole life, I had an acceptance of this. I believed that it to be true. It made sense to me. I don't know if there was any one incident that made me feel that way. I mean, other than I was, my parents were churchgoers, and I was Sunday school and all that, and all the preaching in church was about life everlasting, and you know, you go on afterwards. So I figured, okay, well that sounds right. As far as an event, it was more of a series, a conglomeration of evidential experiences, some couple of precognitive dreams, a couple of this whole issue with 1111 that was showing up in my life, that there was I knew there was something more, and I wanted to experience it. And of course, really what brought it home was, as Melissa said, what after my father passed, interestingly enough, he was one who did not believe in any of this stuff when he was in the physical world. But man, when he crossed over, he was very communicative. He came to Melissa in a dream. He came to me in a dream. And just a lot of signs that were indisputable. So yeah, it was a conglomeration of evidence.
Yeah, I think that it's you know, the same kind of for all of us. I mean, with me, it was not one thing that hit me over the head because I didn't even believe in it, you know. So, but it was a cumulative effect, sort of what Tom was describing, you know. And there were certain things that were profound. We've discussed some of them, you know, on the show. But then I just reached a point where the evidence was so overwhelming that, you know, I relented. Let's go right to the phones, because we have some people on the phones. We have Kelly and Patty on the line. Hello, Kelly.
Hi. Yes. Hi. This is my first call. This is my first time doing any of this. I was at and I've got my best friend Patty here. And I was at a retreat in at the Omega Institute with Laura Lynn, and just felt so. I lost my son in July, and just felt I've been lost. I've been completely lost. I have been a devout Catholic my whole life, and have been lost, and Laura Lynn helped me. And the whole concept of my son being near me and looking for signs has saved me. So I look for signs every day. And so that's why I'm on the phone.
Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, I'm so sorry if you're lost, but I'm glad to hear that you're kind of on the right track of exploring and trying to do things that will help you, and certainly attending a workshop or a retreat and doing reading and listening to others can be helpful. Have you been able to get any signs of communications on your own?
Yes. Oh, I didn't know what to look for. I literally did not know what to look for. And now I do. And so I do get them. But I go in, you know, I feel like drought, you know, days where I get nothing. And then I don't know where to turn. I feel spiritually, I feel a little abandoned. So, which makes me really sad. Because I am, I believe in God, but I just feel abandoned. And so I continue to look for, I just continue to look for signs, and I just, that's what I'm looking for. I'm a little lost. And so I know, but I do know, I believe that I learned a great deal that weekend, that our loved ones who have crossed are still with us. And yes. I just am calling in to be around people who feel the same way and remind me that I need to keep looking and keep my eyes open and
keep connected.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, I mean, two thoughts on that. One, you mentioned that you were somewhat religious. I think you said you were, you know, of Christian faith. And one thing that I found early on when I was going to support groups, you know, after my daughter passed, was that how lost and angry people were that in these meetings, because they felt what you described, that they were abandoned, you know, because they were made certain promises and, you know, in their mind, and those promises weren't kept. So that was the first thing that struck me. But the other thing is with signs, it's interesting is that they seem to ebb and flow and come in waves. I mean, sometimes you can get some signs, you know, bunched together and then they stop, and they sometimes they could stop for considerable amount of time, and then all of a sudden they come again all together. And I don't know the, you know, I don't know if there's any particular reason for that, but you know, you can't, you know, live for the signs. You know, you don't want to be a sign junkie. Just appreciate them when they come. You know, and in those respites, you know, in between the signs, you just wait and be patient and observe. But it doesn't mean, of course, that you're disconnected. You're always connected with you know, with your loved one in spirit. So I think
I ask too, Bob? Would Kelly be, would you be able to share your son's name with us?
Brandon.
I feel it's so important that we say our loved ones' names out loud and talk about them. And share your memories. And I truly believe our loved ones and Brandon are listening in. When we say their names, they lean in a little closer to hear what's being said about them. So hopefully Brandon's listening right now and we'll give you some more signs just to sort of boost you up.
I'm asking tonight for him to give his sister a sign because she's struggling a little bit I have a history of having just crazy dreams where my mom who passed 9 years ago yesterday. I mean, I feel like I've actually walked in heaven because she came to me in a dream 8 years ago, and I feel like she took my hand and I got the beautiful gift of walking through heaven with her. What her heaven looked like. And I haven't had anything like that with my son, although my daughter, his sister, had that. And he said, he told her some things that just were just really beautiful. And I'm waiting for that, but I'm so happy she had it. But that was the only thing she got from him in the past 4.5 months. Not the only thing. I mean, like we are grateful. I know I need to show gratitude, but she had that, but she's looking for more signs. And she also reminded me the same thing. Don't be looking for something every single day, but yet I do. I do.
Especially now, it's so fresh. I agree totally. And what you need, what hopefully will help you continue, is that you have gotten the signs. You got it from your mother, and you have gotten it from your son. So keep that in your mind that, yes, they did survive passing over. And as you said, you got a glimpse of heaven. They are doing very well where they are. That doesn't help us here who want to pick up the phone and call, want to give them a hug or any of that sort of thing. There's nothing that we can do about that. The only thing we can do is, as I say, keep it in your mind that they did survive and you will see them again. When you cross over, they will be the ones who will greet you. And one other thing to realize is, okay, so maybe they're having difficulty getting signs to you regularly, but as Melissa said, they're hearing you. So when you go to bed at night, or any time in the day, talk to them and let them know how you're feeling, and let them know how you miss them and how much you love them. And that opens the door. It doesn't guarantee any signs, but it hopefully gives you some peace of mind that all will be well, and for you as well in the future. It's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a journey getting through this, and don't let anybody tell you, you should be over it by now. No.
No, I haven't had that. I've had a lot of positive things because it's been such a short time frame, and I do have, if I'm nothing, I'm resilient, and I have an amazing support system. So I'm a strong woman, and I just keep moving forward every day.
I hear that in your voice. Well, and I know you're probably thanking Brandon with every sign. And that he knows you're acknowledging them. So I really, really hope you get more soon.
Yeah. And just as you are loving them and hoping that they're okay on the other side, they are loving you and hoping you're okay. They want, life is so short. I mean, we have an eternal soul. We live forever. So this little bit of time that we're in the physical world is just that, a tiny bit of time until we're all reunited again. And and just know that they want, as I say, they will love you and want you to be well. They want you to enjoy what's left of your life and not to be bogged down by the fact that they're not with you. When, as Laura Lynn would probably say, it's not that they're not with you. They are with you. It's just that we can't do the physical things we miss so much.
Well, Kelly and Patty, thank you for calling in. Our hearts go out to you, and keep doing what you're doing. And we hope that you get a lot more communications from your son.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Yeah, thank you for allowing us to share.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's, go to some more questions that came in. Here's one, do our loved ones in spirit pay attention to the mundane stuff in our lives? I think that, they're not following us around, and they're not, with us when we go to the bathroom and stuff, like that. But if it can be used as evidence, they'll make note of it, So, I'll give you an example. I had mentioned this once before, I think, on the show, but after my wife passed, I was in the kitchen washing dishes, and I still do talk out loud, to my wife. And as I'm washing the dishes, I said, Fran, I don't care what you say, this sink has a poor design, and every time I turn on to hard, the faucet, it splashes all over the place. And the next morning, I got an unsolicited email from one of our mediums. And the medium, I never ask it, our mediums, for a reading. I actually never got a reading in 20 years from any of our mediums. And the medium sends me an email and said, Bob, I have to tell you that Fran came to me last night and said that I need to mention the kitchen sink to you. that got my attention. You talk about these things, of course, this was recently. So, I was well past the non-belief stuff. Was already a firm believer. But there's an example of that, right? It's a mundane thing. I'm washing dishes, and I'm talking out loud. And that's, so then Fran knew that was evidence that I would take and understand, right? So I think you agree with that, about the mundane stuff, It's only mundane to us.
The way I look at it is, as you know, we are all energy. We're energetic beings. Even though we feel solid, we're constantly moving, vibrating. And when you shed the mortal coil of your body, your vibration level gets very high and you've got high energy. So when we communicate through a medium or whatever, a medium will have to raise their vibration and spirit will have to lower their vibration so that there can be a meeting of the energies to communicate. And so I feel that when you're in a mundane, you know, day to day, going to the bathroom, taking a shower, there's very little in the way of vibrational energy going on. You know, it's just something you're doing, you're trudging through your day. So for spirit to come down enough, they're not interested in that. Now, people have different beliefs on orbs. When you take a photograph and you see a round ball of light that can't be explained by flashes or reflections, some people think that's an actual spirit energy. And of the photographs that we have collected over the years that have orbs, the majority of them are happening. One was at my daughter's wedding. One was on stage at CBGB in New York City.
So when you graduated?
When I graduated law school, a lot of that sort of thing, there were orbs present. And that's because the event itself was a high energy event. You know, when music's playing and people are laughing and having a good time, that's when spirit likes to show up. They like to join in on our good times. And we've seen that in medium readings when the spirit will say, oh yeah, I was at the wedding, you know, and oh, I was there when the child was born and all of that sort of thing. So yeah, but as you say, well, Bob, maybe Fran wouldn't have come by if you were just washing the dishes, but you were actually talking to her. So you called out and invited that.
Right.
But I think it's not impossible for them to observe a daily life thing and that, but I think it's more likely when the energy is raised, when vibrations are raised.
Yeah, I agree with that because like you say, I was in essence, raising that vibration by calling out to her and thinking about her, you know. So let's take another call. We have Gabby with us. Hello, Gabby.
Hi. I'm actually Kelly's daughter. She did not know that I was listening in.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
We have the whole family.
I'm sorry.
I said, it's nice we have the whole family now.
Yes. Originally was not going to call in. I've, as my mom shared, I've been struggling a bit with the signs. But I ended up feeling a pull to listen in, and Kelly was the first call. So I was like, wow, that might be a sign all on its own. But I did, after listening to her, have a question. I know, Melissa, you mentioned that, you know, sometimes when you say Brandon's name, he's really chiming in and listening. Can they hear your thoughts at all? Because I know I talk to my brother all day, all night in my brain.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm sorry. You take that, Melissa.
I was curious, Bob, what you were going to say. But first, Gabby, I want to clear it up. Is it Brandon or Brayden?
Brandon.
Okay, good. I thought I misunderstood. But yeah, thinking about them, I feel that our thoughts are also able to be conveyed because sometimes you're just thinking about someone and then their song comes on or a number appears. It's not explainable by me. Tom usually has good answers.
Well, I do have an answer for that. You know, we have studied, we haven't, but there are many, many studies of people who have near-death experiences, and they go to the other side, and momentarily they get to see what's out there, and they feel the love and the joy. And pretty much to a person, they will talk about somebody greeting them and telling them, well, it's not your time. You have to go back to the earth. And invariably they say, well, yeah, they were telling me this, but they weren't speaking. It was just in my mind. It's a telepathic. So yeah. So yes, they can pick up on your thoughts. If you're sending thoughts to them, that's as good as talking to them.
Yeah, Gabby, think of it this way. I mean, what survives a physical death is our consciousness, which is our mind and our thoughts. So when we're on the other side, we don't have a body, but we still have a mind, we still have consciousness, and we're entities of thought. That is the preferred way of communicating, by thought. I mean, mediumship is a telepathic mind-to-mind process, except that one party happens not to have a body anymore, but they still have their mind. So speaking out loud, is actually kind of silly. You know, we feel better doing it, but it's totally unnecessary. It's our thoughts that are reaching them.
That's true.
And their thoughts are reaching us.
Amazing. That makes me feel really good, because, like I said, I talk to him day in, day out, always in my brain. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
And I hope that you get many great thoughts sent your way.
And I think you're already doing this, is a lot of people, and I know your mom went to see Laura Lynn, and Laura Lynn's all about, well, pick a sign and give it to them, which can work. However, too many people think of what a sign is, that they ignore the signs they're getting. So it's, if you get a feeling all of a sudden, if you see something and you get a feeling that reminds you of your brother, take that.
Yeah.
And you can use that as well. And Melissa has always been a proponent of keeping a journal. And every time you think you get a sign, write it down. And then after a few months, you go back and you look at that journal and you start to see patterns. And you go, oh, yeah, it happened again, it happened here. So these are ways that you can help yourself recognize them. And just, again, don't, you know, I always use the thing that everybody thinks it's going to be a burning bush talking to them. But no, sometimes it's a feather. Sometimes it's a cardinal. Sometimes it's a penny, you know, the number of different things that pop up in places they don't usually pop up. And especially if you're thinking about them at times, songs on the radio is a big one.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Gabby.
I do appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Okay. I hope you keep us posted on your connections.
Yeah. Call again.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you. Okay.
Take care.
Well,
have a good night. If somebody had just wanted to share something, she said, well, talking about her deceased son, she said, while visiting his gravesite this summer, I parked behind another car. Usually when I visit, there are rarely other cars or visitors around. I noticed the license plate on the car was AWB. My son always signed his papers with his initials, AWB. He would even joke around and say, hi, I'm AWB. So it's kind of specific, right? Three letters that you don't normally see in a cemetery when they usually are in any other.
That's
remarkable. That's improbable.
Signs that I was going to mention, because I get that all the time with license plates.
Yeah.
It's constantly sending me signs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that she acknowledged it.
Here's one. If I'm not interested in communicating with the dead, but only want information about the direction of my life, who do I go to? So, I mean, that's a good question.
Hey, Bob, say it.
Well,
that's a keyword. You can go to a psychic.
Our
on the phone.
Our mediums will. Most of them, if not all of them, refer to themselves as psychic mediums. And as I mentioned before, mediumship is a psychic process. But there are mediums who are unbelievably accurate when it comes to getting information from discarnates, from people on the other side. but only average at best in getting psychic information. It appears to be a different skill set, you know, even though, you know, some mediums are gifted at both. So the answer to the question is, you know, yes, you want to go to a psychic, but that doesn't necessarily mean any medium will fit the bill, you know. And then, as I'm sure Tom was going to mention right after this, is that be careful not to base life decisions on the information that the psychic is going to give you, because there may be many different possible futures with different forks in the road, and free will enters into the picture. So use caution, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm recalling a story from one of our mediums where, you know, she had a feeling about something and didn't take her own advice. So I think you perhaps are people with these talents still often question that psychic component. So who's to say really what's going on? I'm going to stick to mediums and talk to those who've lived before.
And it's also an issue for us. Like it's impossible for us to evaluate psychic information, because if a psychic tells you that you're going to meet the person of your dreams in 2 years, we wouldn't be able to evaluate that piece of evidence until 2 years went by, right? So, you know, whereas with mediumship, if we're evaluating a medium and they give a specific piece of information, the sitter will tell us right there whether the information is true or not. So it's a difficult thing. Here's a question. Do you think that someone who dies cares if they're cremated or buried?
Ooh. I think it's important to find out what your loved one wants to have done with their body. I hate to think that decision is left to the surviving individual, the loved one, who's already in an emotional state with the loss and now has to figure out what to do. And this isn't going to answer the question, but I think this is why people in general need to get more comfortable with talking about death and planning for the end of their life. We're all going to die, so why are we so afraid of talking about it? You make plans, like planning for a trip. It's the ultimate trip, in my opinion. But these are the things I recall. I think it was Tom's mom, who has a number of sisters, and someone did not want to be laid out on display.
Well, my mom didn't want to.
But this was not the story about your mom. Your mom told the story. Because the sister did not want to be. She had expressed this, but family members wanted to have this ceremonial display. And Tom's mom said, and the look on her face in that coffin, it was just like total disgust at the whole thing. So imagine that. So talk, make plans and talk about it. There's no right or wrong. It's up to the individual.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that I went to law school, and when I haven't been practicing, but I have been doing some wills and that sort of thing. And one of the things that I urge and almost insist upon is that you have a living will in which you state in writing your desires should you find yourself in a vegetative state or something out like that. And in the will itself, you really should say whether you want cremation or not. When Melissa mentioned that about, you know, people being afraid of death, I came across a quote from Carl Jung, the famous Swiss psychiatrist. And he said, as a physician, I am convinced that it is hygienic, if I may use that word, to discover in death a goal towards which one can strive, and that shrinking away from it is something unhealthy and abnormal, which robs the second half of life of its purpose. So, yeah, we should not, I mean, you know, like the Vikings, they celebrated when somebody passed, and then they sent them off on a ship for the next great adventure.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add that you just heard some really good advice, practical advice, you know, about the question of cremation and burial. But from the perspective of the afterlife, I mean, if I cross over and I shed this body, which may have been in pain or whatever, I don't think I'm going to care less what happens to my body, because I'm not my body anymore. You know, so I'm in a better place, and do whatever the hell you want with my body. You know, but
sure, from you're going to end up in the Smithsonian with your body. But that's okay.
No, I really wanted one of those, you know, maybe like a 10,000 square foot mausoleum. Or you know, it goes with what you're saying, though. I'm joking, but you know, with the fear of you know, of death, is that probably a lot of people can relate to it. But I was always very fearful about putting in the ground, because I'm thinking of it in human terms. You know, it's claustrophobic. It's a bit of a, like, I'm going to know the difference. So the thought of a mausoleum and being above ground was always attractive to me. Of course, I've totally changed my views on this, you know, but I think that some people might even, you know, relate to that, you know. But Tom, you addressed the broader perspective about, you know, fear and then losing the, we can't live our lives in fear of what's going to happen next, you know?
That's true. And yeah. I like the way we're able to talk about this. We don't know when our end will come, and yet we're talking about it in a lighthearted manner. And this should be something that families should feel comfortable doing. You may not want to do it, you know, around your Hanukkah or Christmas party, perhaps, but it's certainly, you know, maybe end of the year kind of conversations, or a New Year's resolution is to, let's make this a topic that we can be comfortable discussing.
Yeah. You know, it's not the first time that we've heard this, but a person wrote, although we never thought much about it before, but after my daughter died, we found that I believe in life after death, and my husband does not. This has caused a lot of friction in our marriage. Any suggestions for me? Well, we're not.
Well, you're in that same situation, right?
Was?
You were in that situation.
Well, yeah. I mean, but it is, I mean, we know, just from studies, and if you talk to, you know, psychologists, that for people that lost a child, there's a tremendously high rate of divorce. You know, there's, I don't know what the number is, but I think I once read it was something like 60%. And because of issues, you know, like that. And yeah, like what Tom was alluding to is that I didn't believe in life after death after my daughter passed, and Fran did. But we soon were both on the same wavelength, except that we still grieve terribly, and we still grieve very differently. So what I found comfort in, she did not, and vice versa. And that caused some friction. I mean, we were smart enough to realize that we need to respect each other's, the way we do the two things, and right or wrong. But Melissa, I mean, you probably, you know, have come across that often, right? And not necessarily with, have to be with a child, but just everybody grieves so differently.
It is. It's so different. It's so difficult. And it is heartbreaking that that could be what comes between a couple in their most difficult time. I don't have a solution for it. I would hope, if there's love in that relationship, let's just say, you know, a husband and wife, let's just hope there's enough love in the relationship that they want to make it work regardless of their difference in beliefs. In general, couples can have differences in belief and all sorts of beliefs. So the fact that one believes in life after death and the other thinks the end is the end. I don't have an answer to that other than with the love that's between the two people, they should be able to respect one another's feelings.
Yeah, it's about the best answer you can give, right? It's just hopefully the love can overcome all the obstacles. Let's take another call. We have EJ with coming on. Hello, EJ.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Did you have a question or something you wanted to share?
Okay. Do any of my family members in the astral have any messages for me?
Well, this isn't the show for that because we're not mediums.
I apologize.
No, but we do have a mediums and messages show on the third Thursday of every month where you can call.
Okay, them. I misread your ad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So
I'll just listen to everybody else's questions and hear what you've got to say. I'm sure a message will come through. Thank you.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Yes, and call early for that program if you want to try to get a reading.
Here's a practical question, and we've been asked that before. If I go back to the same medium after a year has passed, do you think that she will remember any of the information that she gave me the last time?
You know, our mediums say that they do not, that they're just the vessel for the messages to come through, and they don't retain them. However, they also do sometimes say, I'm familiar with the energy I'm receiving, like an old friend. And so that could factor in. It would not be that you remember specific information that came through, but you recognize. It might be like if you run into an old friend and you don't know what they're up to, but you know them and you have a feeling of love or friendship with them. I don't know. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I've gotten talking to mediums that they, after like the next day at one of our retreats, I'll come up and say, wow, that lady that you just were talking about this and that. And they'll say, wow, I don't really retain that sort of thing, because part of the process of mediumship is, as I said, raising vibrations and getting yourself into a different zone, if you will, to do readings. And then when you come out of that zone, you leave that behind in your conscious mind, doesn't retain that. So yeah, you could go to the same medium a year later and they won't have any of the same information. The only information they, and when I say they have, they don't have anything. They connect with the spirit and the spirit will tell you. And if the spirit figures, well, I've already told them about the wedding I went to, so now I'm going to tell them about something else. Or they might reiterate because it's like, well, you didn't get the picture last time, so I'm going to tell it to you again. You never know why the spirit is giving you the information necessarily, other than the fact that they're reaching out to let you know that they are okay and doing well, and they want you to be okay and doing well, and whatever they can do to make that happen is what they're trying to do. And again, everybody thinks that, well, it's either this side or that side. You know, we're here in the physical and we die. We're in heaven or wherever. And that's it. And we're the almighty all of a sudden. Well, that is not the truth. That when you go to the next level, it is just another level of your conscious soul. And there are more than one levels up there. So you cross over and you have abilities that you never had here, but you don't have omniscient or
omniscient, all present.
Yeah, you don't have all encompassing, and sometimes, like we say, it's a you have to learn to lower your vibrations, even to send a sign. So if you're not getting signs, you know, they do everything they can to get that sign to you to say, hey, it's me, I'm okay. And you see it, you go, hey, that's them, they're okay. That might be it for a while when they're trying to figure out how to manipulate their energy. So it's not that they don't care. It's not that they don't love you. It's just that they have to learn how to do those kind of things again.
And you're reminding me, Tom, and when we spoke to Gabby earlier, thinking about, in our family, cardinals are big and you're seeing certain flowers. It's not that the loved one is that bird or that butterfly, but it would be that spirit is able to influence or manipulate that cardinal or butterfly to make its presence known to you.
Yeah. I just want to get back to the original question about whether the mediums remember information. And I agree with most of what you said. But we have seen mediums that they start a reading and then they say, wait, I've read you before, or haven't I, or have I read you before? Because the mediums, I agree that in most cases they don't remember stuff, but they're human. And sometimes information, you know, gets stored, and they could bring it up because, I mean, most of them are not practicing in trance where they go into a trance state, you know, where the medium takes over their body. And then usually a trance medium will remember absolutely nothing, you know, about what they said. But, you know, these mediums, I think that it's a pretty good chance if you went back to the medium after a year, the medium's not going to remember anything and you'd get fresh information. But I don't rule out the possibility that some stuff even is there. But then again, they may, you know, the person in spirit may give totally different information, you know, than they did before. So it could still be very evidential, you know. In my mind, the reason that I always didn't, I'm not that I went to mediums, but my advice was always to go to a, you know, to try a different medium, because in my mind it would be more evidential, because then they would remove that possibility that the medium might remember, even if they don't. You know, that's just me. Most people don't think that way. Here's an interesting one. Although gender lines have been redefined, you know, today, why are there vastly more mediums that are female as opposed to male? That's a true statement. I mean, we know that, right? I mean, I don't know if you, I never did a count, but if you look at our certified medium list, probably 75% or 80% of them are female, and the, you know, 20-25% are male. I don't have an answer for that. I think we suspect, you know, they say that people that are more right-brained and artistic and, you know, that those qualities make them more receptive to getting non-physical information, where the typical male is logical, left-brain thinking, so that might inhibit it. But, you know, we know there are certainly exceptions. There are some wonderful male mediums, you know, so...
Yeah, I know. I don't have an answer for that one. Because I think I get into different assumptions or generalizations about how male versus female minds work and their interests work, which I don't understand. I don't understand you guys. So whatever the ability.
And the question today, right, it's all convoluted because, I mean, you might be male gender but have a lot of female dominant qualities, right? So it's who are we to conjecture about that?
we guys are just one step away from our knuckles dragging on the ground.
Yeah, right.
I think we're driven by other forces.
Yeah. Person writes in, I often feel something brush against the side of my face. I know that there could be some physical or medical reason that could explain this, but could these be signs?
I think so.
Sure could be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
If you could rule out other things, I know I might get a tickle or tremor and I look to see, is something on me? And yet if it's somewhere around my head, I'll think, is my mom or my dad, you know, playing with my hair, trying to get my attention? So I'd give it a little thought if it happens, just like, what else could be going on? Maybe even say, if you speculate who it is, I mean, in my case, mom, is that you? You know, are you trying to tell me something? And then maybe the lights would flicker.
Yeah, it's like, and we talk about that, right, with signs. I mean, sometimes there might be some sort of an additional sense of presence or this, some knowing that's attached to that. So wait a second, that's really so-and-so, you know? So, I mean, I wouldn't
trust your intuition a little more, because, yes, it won't always be your brain that knows that you're getting assigned. You know, you gotta open up all of your senses to be able to receive.
Yeah. We only have a couple of minutes left, but this one was interesting. So I had a medium reading recently, and the medium spent about half the session giving information supposedly being communicated by my deceased mother's dog. Admittedly, some of the information was accurate. It's the right size, the right color, the demeanor of the dog. But I would have preferred to receive more information from my mom. So the dogs often communicate through mediums, you know, was the question. So we would say, yes, right? You've seen that.
I recall being in one of our earliest events, Bob, in San Francisco, and we had sort of the night of mediums with a medium at each table. And Tom and I were actually sharing a table with Janet Nohavik, who is now joining us from the other side, but she became one of our certified mediums. And the medium who was the host of our table was talking about someone's dog, and she had to correct the breed. And she said, it's a Belgian terrier or something, but it was like the dog was correcting the medium, like, get my breed correct.
it was
so memorable
that. I don't recall that, but that's interesting. And also, when we touched on this before, is that don't discount the fact that mom in spirit was giving you all that information about the dog because it was factual and it was something that you would be able to identify. So it's another form of evidence, you know. Maybe it wasn't coming directly from the mind of the dog, but through mom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It wasn't there. But the bottom line is pets do come through, you know, often. And then people say, wait a second, how does the medium speak dog? You know, how does, you know, but
those,
the rules don't apply. Like we were going back to say, it's just thoughts, right? And it's conscious, they have thoughts.
Yeah.
That's true.
And, you know, I mean, it makes sense because in this life, rarely do you get unconditional love. But when you have a dog, you are getting unconditional love. So that's a strong, strong energy that can come back. And not only that, there are plenty of people that we have seen at retreats and whatnot who want to hear from their dogs and not anybody else. So
right. That's true. I want to talk to the dog and not the husband, right?
Yes.
Let's end with the Claude Swanson's Global Peace Prayer. Let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment.
And now, I'd like to say our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Good to see you, Bob.
Good to see you.